Welcome to Facts Roundtable, a podcast dedicated to navigating life with food allergies across the lifespan, presented in a welcoming format with interviews and open discussions. Each episode will explore a specific topic, leaving you with the facts to know or use. Information presented via this podcast is educational and not intended to provide individual medical advice. Please consult with your personal board-certified allergist or healthcare providers for advice specific to your situation. Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Mwasisi, and I'm your host for the Facts Roundtable podcast. I'm a food allergy parent, advocate, and the founder of the Grateful Foodie blog. On today's show, we're going to learn how to use FACTS' newest tool for managing those curveballs that life throws at our children. Emory Gewirtz, FACTS Director of Behavioral Health, will review and explain how to use the new FACTS My Food Allergy Resilience Kit. You may want to pause this podcast right now and head over to foodallergyawareness.org so you can follow along with the kit on your screen. Simply click on the Behavioral Health tab and scroll down to Resilience and Food Allergies. Emory, welcome to the show today. You always leave us in a better place, and I'm exceptionally excited about today's special show.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm glad to be back.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. So we're going to dive right in. We've spoken many times together about building resilience in our children and all the different tools that it takes to do this. And I've learned from you that teaching resilience also is not just a one-and-done kind of action, but something that generally takes place over time. FACTS has released the My Food Allergy Resilience Kit. So can you explain why this kit was created?
Yes, I love that that was your takeaway. We created this kit because resilience is one of those things that's not taught in school. There's some things that we need to successfully get through life, and they're not taught, and some of us aren't born with it. Now, we've talked in the past that some kids are more naturally resilient than others, but that's not always the case. And I firmly believe that everyone should be taught about the power of resilience, but especially those with food allergies. So when you do research on food allergies, you see that it's reported that those that have food allergies report a lower quality of life. So, okay, if that's true, how can we change that? And one of the ways that we can change that is by learning resilience and developing it so children and adults alike can know how to overcome their unique obstacles successfully that they have because of food allergies. They can bounce back every time, whether they're bouncing back from bullying, they're bouncing back from not passing a food allergy challenge, or whatever it may be. So those that have resilience are better with dealing with change, moving on from setbacks, and have a deeper sense of identity. All of this can improve quality of life. And that's why the My Food Allergy Resilience Kit is super important.
Well, as you already know, I'm going crazy over this kit. It is amazing. So now, what is in the kit? And then why would a parent or caregiver or educator find the kit important to use?
The kit is a tool to build resilience, just like I said. But beyond that, it's fun and engaging. So parents, caregivers, and educators might want to develop resilience, but either not have the word for it, or it just be too abstract of a concept to really conceptualize how to teach it. So the kit has been configured in a way that parents, teachers, educators, whoever can teach resilience. It conceptualizes resilience in a more concrete way so that we can all better help these children impart that characteristic to them and maybe even learn some tips for ourselves along the way. So we all hope that one day our children will learn how to manage their emotions, gain a lot of confidence, be able to overcome these obstacles. And this kit is a place to explore that. And also, when you're not around, when you're not hands-on with them, it allows them to also be able to explore resilience on their own and have something that they can go grab when they're in trouble and when they don't have an adult readily by to help them out through it.
And I also just want to note for our listeners that the kit is absolutely packed full of instruction and these really beautiful, bright, colored, free downloads to help everybody on this journey. All right, so Emory, let's get exploring this kit together. So in the beginning, the first instruction there to create the kit, we're told to start with a shoebox or any kind of box. So why a box? And can you explain what are the add-ins?
Well, boxes are easy to stow away, and they can also be retrieved at any time that a kid might want to grab them or that you might want to grab them. So the idea is that kids can decorate the box, and by nature, when kids are hands-on in something, they become more attached to it because it's theirs, they designed it, and whatnot. So you can take the box and then download everything that is on our website and fill it up. You can cut out the stuff that you're instructed to cut out, and you can place in these extras. And then that way, like we previously mentioned, your kid can grab it when they feel they need to grab it. Or if something comes up that the resilience kit might be helpful for, you guys can go grab it together. And this is repeating the word resilience. So again, resilience becomes more of a concrete characteristic rather than an abstract idea. So when something happens at school or at home, a parent can say, let's go grab the resilience box. And hopefully over time, your kid will start to know that that's something that can help them through an obstacle, through a setback, and they're going to be able to get through it. And of course, the resilience kit is also a perfect segue into exploring the issue in a deeper way rather than just knowing that your child is upset. So the add-ins are just little fun things that are extra that the kid doesn't necessarily talk about, but are various great topics to be explored. So we have erasers for when we make mistakes. So if you can grab an eraser that you already have or a fun one you think your kid will like, you can put that eraser in there and talk about we all make mistakes, but we can erase it and start again. Throw in a bouncy ball. What kid doesn't like bouncy balls? They were my favorite toy growing up. Because resilience, in its most simple terms, is the ability to bounce back. Throw a puzzle piece in, hopefully not from a puzzle that you really love doing all the time, but you need a puzzle piece in there because life can get mixed up. You know, we get confused. Things don't always go our way. But when we take the time, we can put our life back together in an orderly way that creates the picture of life that we really want. So throw that in there. Then binoculars. If you attended Camp Tag this summer, you might have a pair of binoculars, and you're going to add that in for focus. When things get hard, it's easy to let our brain get all mismatched and mushy, but instead, we need to focus on the problem at hand, and then we can discuss how to get over it. And then lastly, throw in a safe snack. First, because when you're going through your resilience box or you're doing a worksheet with one of your kids, who doesn't love a good snack? But also, we're going to throw in a safe snack because to have resilience, we need to take care of our bodies. And that means that we have to properly nourish them, value them, and take care of them. So those are all the little extra add-ins that could be great topics of conversation with your kids. And also, I believe I've talked about it before, but sometimes holding on to something tactile when you're going over a hard topic can actually be really good for a child. In schools, they might call them fidget toys. You might know the really popular fidget spinners. And that's not just for kids that have ADHD or some sort of focus issue. That really works for everybody, adults and kids. So if you're going over a hard topic, perhaps you're doing the emotional check-in and your kid really had a hard day, they can hold on to that eraser. Maybe they're squeezing it, or maybe you're reminding them that they can erase. So they're just little extra add-ins for extra fun.
I love those add-ins. And I have to confess, in my desk drawer, I have putty and I have this heavy heart stone that feels good because it's cool. And then I'm actually half Greek, so I have Greek worry beads.
I love that.
I fiddle with those too. So I really can relate to completely having that kind of physical tactile thing when you start to feel like you need to address something. So what a neat thing to offer in the kit. I really like that. Had to throw that in. So now, can you explain the different types of cutouts that are in the kit and then why they're important and how to use them?
Absolutely. So there's a bunch of cutouts in the kits from affirmations to declarations. They say things like, I'm brave today. The world is a better place because I'm here. I'm unique. I'm kind to myself and my family. I know my own strength. I seek help when I need it, and a bunch of different things that you guys can check out when you download the kit. But saying declarations aloud is actually proven to boost self-confidence. So repeating these phrases out loud with your child or them on their own would be most effective. But the cutouts are designed to be hung on a bedroom door, maybe pasted to the bathroom mirror, or tacked up to your fridge. Anywhere that your kid is going to see them often and be able to read them silently in their head or repeat on their way out to school or on their way out to some activity. So when they're seen every day, they can eventually become part of your child's inner identity. Now, of course, they can also be cut out and used as a little lunchbox note for a midday surprise. You can use them however you want and get creative with them. And remember, for all children, you're also crucial in helping them develop this identity. So if you pick out that affirmation that says, I am enough, and you have your kid reading that affirmation, I am enough, I am enough, I am enough, you need to make sure you're affirming this as well, so that you're also adding in, yes, you are enough, and I love you right where you're at right now. So it's important that not only are they affirming it to themselves, but you as the parent are helping them affirm it to become part of their identity as well.
Thank you. That's a really powerful tip on how to use the kit. I love the cutouts. I've downloaded it for myself, just saying.
I love it.
So Emery, as a fellow human who makes many mistakes, I really enjoyed the Mistakes, a Tool for Learning download. Do you suggest we cut out those quotes and then add them to the box? Or should I sit down with the whole page with my cup of oat milk and read it?
I love that. So the Mistakes page is actually one of my favorite pages in the kit. Not all of us grew up knowing what to do when we made a mistake. I certainly didn't. So it's originally designed as a chart of sorts, perhaps to be hung or just taken out of the resilience box when needed. So some kids get really upset when they make a mistake, and some parents get upset too when their kids mess up. Instead, it's better to take the perspective of where can we go from here? Did they do poorly on a test? They can take out the sheet and point to, well, try again. Did they break a rule that you have in your home? Break out the sheet instead, and they can point to, take responsibility if you need to. So we don't always know what to do when we make a mistake, and sometimes different mistakes call for different choices after. If you made a mistake and you hurt someone, you need to take responsibility. But if you made a mistake and you got a poor grade when you try your best, then you need to know that sometimes challenges can make you stronger. So the chart is really a great way to explore mistakes, explore why mistakes happen, and explore what kind of ownership can you take from it, or what can you learn from the mistake. And that's actually really important, because also kids don't learn that different mistakes call for a different reaction. Not every mistake is the same. And that's why this can really help, because those that develop resilience know what to do when they make a mistake. They know what to do when they fail, and they have this growth mindset that this sheet can help us make.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that description. So now the kit was created for pre-K to 8th, but I already downloaded the emotional check-in sheet and the How to Get Going Again resiliency chart just to use with my teenage and college-age students. Okay, and for myself. Let's get real here. But can you briefly share how older children and adults might benefit from this kit and then explain these two pages?
So the How to Get Going Again chart can be used for when your child is stuck, they've hit an obstacle or setback, they seem to be down. So they need to get going again. They need to start doing what they like to do. They can't just lock themselves in their room and be upset and not talk to anybody for a day. Now that also sounds like perhaps a teenager or a young adult would do that as well. So like you said, this kit is originally designed for pre-K to 8, but you're right. These two sheets are really great to use with somebody of all ages. Maybe they didn't make the team. Maybe they didn't pass a food challenge. Maybe they had a fight with a friend. This sheet is great to grab and get them going again. Take a look at what they can do. Maybe listen to music, get their mind off it. Maybe take a break. Maybe they're texting back and forth with this friend and they just need to take a break. So how can you move on from these different things? And again, if a high school student or an adult with food allergies, if a young adult, any of these people, if you're not taught how to move on when things don't seem to go your way, you get stuck. And when you're stuck, you need to get going again. So that's how we can use that sheet. And then the emotional check-in, you're right, another great tool that could be scaffolded to use for anybody. And we all have rough days. We all have tough days. Again, setbacks happen. And part of building resilience, and this is really key for parents out there, to build resilience, you need a setback. I'm going to say that again. To build resilience, you need a setback. So when we're building resilience in our children, we're not trying to keep them from ever having a setback. We're not trying to shield them from ever having a challenge. At different times, they need to have a setback and challenge because they're not going to be able to build resilience unless they have that. And again, we're not talking that we hope they have a catastrophic setback, but when they fail a test, when maybe the birthday party had a food that they couldn't eat so they couldn't go, when a friend, you know, did something hurtful. We all experienced those things, right? And I would say that most people have a story about a setback, and we want to shield our children from that. We don't want them to be hurt, but you can't develop this growth mindset. You can't develop the ability to bounce back and explore what it means to overcome an obstacle if you never have an obstacle. So with that assumption that our children will face setbacks and obstacles, we're going to need these two sheets. Now, we've talked in a previous podcast that we need to give our kids words for the emotions that they're feeling. So firstly, the emotional check-in can help with that. You fill out what you're feeling today. Of course, happy is on there. That's a really great thing. Confident, hopeful. But we also have frustrated, tired, grumpy, anxious, scared. There's a lot of different emotions. So your kid can check in, circle an emotion. Now, if you have grabbed your resilience box, more likely than not, your child's facing one of the emotions that aren't as great as happy, right? But if this becomes a part of your routine, that's fantastic too. Have them fill it out when they're happy. It's good to check in with your emotions when you're in a great mood and when you're in a bad mood, because you can feel the difference. One of the questions that it explored is, what does my body feel like? We call this somatic symptoms. So some kids might not be able to say I'm anxious, but they might have a constant tummy ache, which is a somatic symptom, right? It's just something that the body feels. So if they can understand that, when I'm feeling scared or frightened or anxious, I have a headache, my stomach hurts. They can start to relate this. And then they're like, I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling excited today. I don't have those symptoms. So as they grow, they can also realize that, if they're feeling a stomach ache, but they don't really know that they're anxious, what can they explore their feelings about? What can they relate it to? And of course, again, we talked in a previous podcast, sometimes a stomach ache is just a stomach ache. But when we can start to track what kind of symptoms our body gives us when we feel different things, we get to know ourselves better, which is a part of resilience. Like I said earlier, people that have strong resilience have a strong sense of identity. They know themselves well. When you know yourselves well, you also know what you feel any given time you have a different emotion. The emotional check-in also goes over if they're worrying about anything today or what they can control today, a positive thought they had today, and a way that they can calm down if they need to. And like you said, that can easily be used for an older child, a teen, a young adult, and even yourself for parents that are listening. Because if we're going to teach our children how to check in with their emotions, we need to make sure that we are doing the same thing. And oftentimes we don't take the time out of our day to say, what am I worried about? And then honestly, let's say we do. Let's say you can pinpoint something that you're worried about. Do we write it down and explore it? Or do we just kind of accept that that's what we're worrying about? Emotional check-ins allow you to explore your feelings, why you're having them, and what you can do about it. That's resilience.
And thank you for mentioning the stomach ache, because I'll hear that a lot from my own daughter. Mm-hmm. And I immediately go to food allergy, which is appropriate. Let's see, make sure there's not a beginning of a reaction, but then I stop right there. As you were talking, my brain was just going back through different scenarios recently where I was like, oh, that stomach ache wasn't because of the food. Oh, okay. So thank you for bringing that up. That was really important.
And that's a good catch by you, Caroline, too. Fantastic.
Why, thank you. See, Kit is doing me well.
Yeah.
So now, can you explain to the listeners how to use the what I am wishing for and goals I'm reaching for pages?
So what I'm wishing for paints a realistic picture that obstacles can happen. We just went over that. And resilient people can prepare for them in advance. So whatever your child wants, or if they're looking forward to getting into a certain class, or they're looking into making a certain team, or perhaps they're wanting different various things, they can write it down, because that ties into goal setting and growth mindset. But also, resilient people can see the obstacles ahead. And again, they may or may not happen, but over time, we can prepare for them. So the what I'm wishing for sheet actually outlines asking the child, well, what's a potential obstacle? Again, it may or may not happen. So when they lay out a potential obstacle, then they need to figure out what would they be able to do to overcome it. If they're looking to make the soccer team, and the potential obstacle might be that there's a lot of players that have been playing for many more years than them, then what would they be able to do to overcome that obstacle? Okay, if there's so many more players that are better at soccer than me, so I might not make the team because there's so many people that are really, really good and have played a long time. What can you do to overcome that? Let me think about it. you can practice harder. That could be something you could do. And you can sort of go over the different things they could do. Now, of course, that is a small, minute example. There's obviously going to be bigger obstacles they might face or more problematic things that happen or bigger things that they're wishing for. But again, you can go over it in the small things. I want to make the soccer team. And then they will be able to use this kind of problem solving and exploration when bigger things happen. Now, the next sheet is goals I'm reaching for. I believe we touched on this a couple times, but growth mindset. That is huge when it comes to resilience. Resilient people are always willing to grow and learn, and they're not stuck in their thoughts. And part of growing and developing a growth mindset is setting goals. We don't just achieve things. And sometimes it might feel like we just achieved something. Oh yeah, I got the A on the test. It just happened. It probably didn't happen. It probably happened over paying attention in class, studying a little bit, maybe going over flashcards with mom, but you reached it by little steps. So setting a goal can be really great. So at the top of this page, you're going to write a big goal. Again, it could be something like getting an A. It could be something like making the team or learning to play guitar, whatever goal it is. Or if they want to do their long-reaching goals, they want to become an allergist, they want to become a dancer, whatever it is. Let's write out those goals on the steps of the ladder. The goals I'm reaching for page has a picture of a ladder, which of course you'll see as soon as you download it and print this kit, and help your kid start making little mini goals to reach that big goal. So it doesn't all come at once, it comes in steps. And when you teach your kid that it comes in steps, they know that when they have a step back, they might just go down a rung and then they can start climbing again.
Thank you very much for that very detailed explanation. I think it really helps the listeners to hear how to use the kit. I mean, even though there's very clear instructions, I always personally like a discussion. So thank you very much.
Me too.
Now, there are a few pages that I just absolutely adore, like the My Food Allergy Superhero, I'm Special, Super Safe Snacks page, and My Food Allergy Friends Activities.
These pages are key to exploring personal identity as well. Kids need to know they're special and they're different and they're capable of great things. But how will they know this if we don't tell them? And then if we do tell them, how will they understand this, right? So it goes from different levels. You can be told something, but you might not believe it. You might not commit it to your innermost part of your identity. So these sheets help children explore the fact that they are different, that they are special, that there's great things about them. So the I Am Special page is just that. It asks your child to draw a picture about something that they're good at doing. So maybe they can draw a picture of playing guitar. Maybe they can draw themselves helping a friend. Maybe they're really good at helping people or being kind, they can draw that. Or maybe they're good at baking. There's a bunch of different things, but we're all great at something. So we got to build that confidence that there's at least one thing and probably a lot more than one thing that they're really good at and that makes them special. The Super Safe Snacks page and Food Allergy Friend page will explore that a bit more in depth in the sense that can they respond to situations in a resilient way based on their understanding of themselves? A resilient response is different than just a normal response. Sometimes we want to respond out of our emotions. Take the Super Safe Snack scenario, for example. In this example, the page discusses a scenario where somebody brings into school for their birthday something that your child's allergic to. A non-resilient response, which is just from our emotions, might be anger or super upset, or maybe you go to the bathroom and cry. And I'm not saying these responses aren't valid and reasonable. When you're young, it's the biggest thing in the world not to be able to eat a snack that somebody brings in for your birthday. I understand that. But a resilient response might be, this is really upsetting. Let me go grab my favorite safe snack. This sheet is going to encourage your child to explore what response they could have and then draw a picture of their response. But the sheet encourages them in the resilient response. So on this sheet, it says, draw a picture below of what you would like to eat if this happened to you. So it's encouraging to the child, okay, they wouldn't be upset. They'd go pick that snack. What would that snack be? For me, it was always Twizzlers. Whenever somebody brought in something into class that I couldn't eat, my safe snack always was Twizzlers. So there's something that your kid is going to draw. There's something that they're going to grab. And that will help them sort of explore resilient responses. And that'll become part of their identity. They're not the kid that gets upset. They're the kid that can bounce back. It shouldn't smack you in the face of being hard or extra work. It is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be engaging. But while your kid is having fun and being engaged in these different activities, they're building their confidence, they're deepening their sense of identity, and they're growing resilience.
Well, those activities look fantastic, and I'm excited for parents to just dive into those. So now, outside of the emotional check-in page and the How to Get Going My Resilient chart, which are my favorites, I really, really like the Food Allergy Resilience Scavenger Hunt. I think that actually might be my most favorite part of the kit. So can you explain to our listeners today how that scavenger hunt works and why it's so important?
Absolutely. So again, kids love games. So how are we going to teach them? We're going to teach them through the things that they like to do. So the Resilience Scavenger Hunt is a fun scavenger hunt that you can play with your family. Again, you can bring in kids of all ages for this, and mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever wants to hop in on the fun and do this scavenger hunt. It'll work like any other scavenger hunt, except you're finding items that will help you grow resilience. The different hunt items are something that maybe can help you out if you're feeling stuck, helps you out when you're feeling sad, and then also things that make you happy. So one of the scavenger hunt items is find something that's your favorite color. Find something you know someone else enjoys, right? So resilient people are good at helping. Find something that makes you feel safe. Find something that you're grateful for. Without knowing that, these are things that either can help us out when we're stuck, help us when we need to cope, help us to make ourselves happy. But they're things that resilient people can go to. Somebody that has well-developed resilience, when they're feeling sad, they might go listen to their favorite song for a half an hour. But let's go on a scavenger hunt for these things, and it'll get your child thinking, well, what does make me happy? What would be something that could help somebody else? What is something that smells awesome, right? So smell is something, I added that to the kit. Smell is something that can be really helpful too and calming to different people. So there's a bunch of different things that the scavenger hunt hits on, and it'll be a fun chase and race to find all these different things, but it'll get them thinking too, which is why it's important.
All right, Emery, we're about to wind up here. So is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yes. So let me explain real quickly how you guys can get a hold of this kit. Head over to our website at foodallergyawareness.org. Click on the behavioral health tab, and then there will be a section for resilience and food allergies. The My Food Allergy Resilient Kit can be found right in there for download. And also, you can bring this up on your phone at any time should you not be able to print it, or should you be able to need it in a pinch. You're driving to grandma's house, you're on a road trip, and you want the emotional check-in, or you need to bring up the mistakes page and have your child explore their mistakes and how to respond to them. Just grab it up on your phone, your laptop, whatever you have, and you can use it on the go. I can't wait to see all the things that I do with this kit.
Well, we're going to have a follow-up podcast just to see how people are using this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Emery, again for your time. And I also want listeners to know that this kit is available at absolutely no cost. So please feel free to use it, to share it with teachers and caregivers. It's been created for you. I feel it's been created for me. I love it and can't wait to use it. So thank you again, Emery, for your time today.
You too, Caroline. I'll see you soon.
Thank you all for listening to Facts Roundtable Podcast. Stay tuned for future episodes coming soon. Please subscribe, share, and review our podcast, and be sure to connect with us on social media. You can find us on Apple Podcast, iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Have a great day, and always be kind to one another.